so often we deny him by not being obedient to his commands. And that holds true with the subject that we've been looking at in our afternoon services. It is the fourth message on the head covering. Some might say, how can you be calling this the fourth message on the head covering when you really haven't said a lot about the head covering today? All of this is preliminary to get to the head covering. It's all intertwined. Let's start off this afternoon by turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 34. I want to read two verses there. First Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, under submission, under subjection, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church, in the assembly. Turn with me now to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. We have, in these studies, tried to set forth and looked at Genesis chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, the first marriage that was instituted by God, and how that physical union of a man and woman in marriage was to be in the order that was to be observed. And the order that was to be observed was by virtue of creation, was by virtue of the fact that the man was formed first, and then Eve. But this physical union of a man and a woman together in in the order that it was to be observed in that marriage was to picture something greater. It was the purpose of God that marriage, the natural order in marriage, the natural order there, was to picture Christ and his church. Don't really see that till you get into the New Testament and see it in the book of Ephesians and other passages that we have read. That is that the man is to be in authority over his wife, as Christ is in authority over his church. And the woman is to be subject to him, submissive to him, willingly yielding to his authority, as is the church to be in submission to Christ, its head, its authority figure. All matter of order. Man was created first. From him was taken a rib, and he made a female, made his wife. The Lord Jesus Christ gave forth his church. From him came his church, his assembly, his kind of assembly. As that assembly assembles together, men and women in the assembly, husband and wives picturing Christ and the church in their roles and their responsibilities, the woman being in submission is not to teach or to take to herself authority over the man. She is to be in silence. She is to learn in silence in the assembly. Men, as representing Christ in authority and position, are to reflect Christ in his office of prophet. Men are to do the preaching and teaching in the assembly. They are also to picture Christ in his office of priest. That is, men are to do the praying. They are to take us to the throne of grace. They are to take us before our Heavenly Father in prayer. Men in their role as picturing Christ are to picture him and his office as king. That goes to the government of the church, the rule in the church. Pastors and deacons. However, deacons don't have a place in a position of rule. They have a position of serving in the physical needs and temporal needs of the assembly. That's God's order. All of these commandments concerning the woman, man concerning the man, are based upon the very same foundation: God's purpose in creation. It is the order that he set forth by virtue of creation. The thing that we need to embrace and understand, this is his world. This is his by virtue of the fact that he is its creator and he is the sovereign over it. And he set, even in the, you hear about the laws of nature. God set them there, the laws of nature. There are laws within nature that can't be crossed over. Because it's his world. And he gives to us some guidelines, some instructions, which these we see in creational. The husband is to be the authoritative figure over the woman, and the woman is to be in submission to him, are set there by God, and it's for all people, whether they be saved or not. Now, we've seen that men have gotten out of their role and women have gotten out of their role as God-given roles, God-given order. And those are other messages. We won't go into them. There's a lot of reasons around why that order has gotten the way it has. And it's largely because men are following the dictates of Satan. And Satan never has liked the order that God established. And he rebelled against it. And that's why he became Satan, became the devil, became cast out of heaven and into this earth. The relationship of the church to Christ is drawn from the foundation of this creational order. The same order that we find that exists is to exist between a husband and a wife, between men and women, the same one that exists between Christ and his church, and is based on the order of creation. Listen, for me to deny, for you to deny subjective place of the woman to the man is to deny that Christ's church is to be in submission to him. You deny one, you deny the other. And I would dare say that every rebellious woman, at least saved woman, that knows anything about the Lord's church would affirm that the church is, yeah, the church is in submission to Christ, but they rebel against their submission to their husband. Listen. For me to rebel, for you to rebel, is to rebel against God. It's to rebel against him, and is, he is the one that set the order. I didn't set it. Some egotistical man did not set it. But God set it. It's his order. He's the creator. He's sovereign. And we, especially the children of God, owe our allegiance to him. Turn with me back to the book of 1 Corinthians. In chapter 14, and verse 37, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet, or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I have that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. In other words, you that are pastors, you that think that you're spiritual, you give credence and acknowledgement to the fact that the things which have been written here are the commandments of God. In other words, everything that we've looked at, we've tried to use Scripture to place our thoughts upon and our words upon the Word of God. They are the commands of God. It is God that commanded that the husband was the authoritative figure. It is God that commanded that women are to be in subjection to their husband. It is God that commanded when you assemble together in the church, women are to be silent in the church, men are to have the position of preaching and teaching, speaking forth in the assembly, praying in the assembly. These are the commandments of the Lord. Not just this 14th chapter, but particularly as it pertains to the 14th chapter, yes, concerning confusion, concerning one getting up in the assembly, a man getting up in the assembly and speaking in a different language that nobody at that assembly knows. He doesn't have an interpreter. Basically, the Word of God says, shut up and sit down. Because you're not profiting the assembly. But he that preaches and teaches, he that preaches and teaches, edifies, is of benefit to the assembly. Also, under the same guise as confusion in the assembly, women are to be quiet, are to be silent in the assembly. Not that women can't be divinely inspired. They just cannot get up in assembly and speak. They have to sit and learn under the men who are doing the speaking forth in the assembly. These commandments are in keeping with the law of God. Look up with me at verse 34. Point this out. Verse 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, under submission, under subjection, as also saith the law. As also saith the law. The law is the Old Testament. The law and the prophets. Well, turn back to the law. Turn back to the first book of the law. Chapter 2. And verse 23. And Adam said, notice what Adam said. This is after God had called a deep sleep to come upon Adam, and he took from Adam a rib, and he formed woman. And he gave the woman unto Adam. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones. Adam was first. And God took a bone from me and made this woman. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. That's in the law of God. Look with me at the third chapter. Also in the law of God, which sets it forth even more clearly after that sin entered the human race. Chapter 3 of Genesis in verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Woman, he said, your husband is going to rule over you, and your longing, your craving is going to be towards him. You are going to seek in pleasing him. That's her role. That's her role in the husband-wife relationship, as spelled out by God. Turn with me now to the New Testament. 1 Peter in chapter 3. And it seems like, it's almost like that Peter wrote this in case you didn't understand Genesis 2:23 and Genesis 3:16. Because listen to what the Holy Spirit says through the pen of the Apostle Peter. Likewise. Oh, why is he saying likewise? Well, he said, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Well, what he gave before in the second chapter was some things that we all are to be in subjection to. We're to be in subjection to governments and so forth. We're to be in subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ, following his example. And what was his example? He submitted himself to the will of the Father. He did not seek to please himself, but he sought to please God the Father. And you and I are to seek to please God the Father. We're to follow his example. Likewise, ye women, seek to please God the Father by being in subjection to your own husbands. And again, for the benefit of the men, I say that word subjection and submission throughout Scripture is a voluntary placing oneself under the authority of another. So, men, you don't make your wives submit. You don't browbeat your wives into submission. They voluntarily, because they're seeking to do the will of and please God the Father, they willingly submit to the rule of their husband. And here's why he says this particularly to the women now. That if any obey not the word, if any husband obey not the word, in other words, they're unbelievers. And you may not know that. You may think they are a believer, but they may be an unbeliever. If any obey not the word, you may know that they're an unbeliever. They may not profess Christ at all. What should be your role? What should be your purpose? Well, you want to win them to Christ, don't you? And so he says that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation, the behavior, the manner of life of the wives. You see, a wife who willingly submits to the rule of her husband is depicting something that is foreign to the world. I mean, in the day and time we live, especially, you can see it. It's not always been so, but it was even foreign. I mean, there was women of old that wanting to rebel against husbands and leaving their husbands. Drop down to verse 5 with me. For after this manner, in the old time, notice this, in the old time, in the Old Testament days, the holy women also who trusted in God, they were holy women because they trusted in God, adorned themselves. And I'm going to stop right there. They didn't put on something. They didn't. It's not talking about their dress, that they wore godly dress. I believe they did. God has always had a distinction of the sexes, and it was noted by hair and by dress. And God still has a distinction of the sexes today, even though the world is rebelling big time against it. And it is to be done by hair and by dress. It is the two main distinctions that manifest outwardly that distinction. But this word adorned here means to place in proper order. And you wouldn't know that unless you had a strong concordance and looked it up and seen what it meant in the Greek. But it means to place in proper order. That is, she placed herself in order, being in submission. In other words, being under his rule, under their own husbands, under their own husbands. How did this manifest itself among the holy women, among those who trusted in God? How did it manifest? Well, it manifested that they had placed themselves under because they didn't rebel against their husband's rule. But notice this. It gives us an example. An example of Sarah and Abraham. In verse 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, she submitted to Abraham. She submitted to Abraham's rule over her. She obeyed, calling him Lord. Calling him my authority, my ruler, the one who is in authority over me. That's what the word Lord there means. First and primary. It is same as master, or as one who belongs to. Now, even as Sarah, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, and if you're here and saved, then You are a daughter of Sarah, spiritually speaking. Abraham and Sarah are type of spiritual father and mothers. And you ought to manifest that you're a daughter of Sarah, the same behavior that Sarah had. And what was that? She obeyed Abraham and called him Lord. Now, I don't desire that my wife call me Lord. And that's not probably necessary that you'd necessarily go around. Some people might think that you've gone off your rocker if you go around calling your husband's Lord, you know, and so forth. But we ought to manifest that same thought as the meaning of the word by your yielding to his authority, yielding to his rule. And if you do, he said, you do well. And are not afraid with any amazement. And sure that you and I, as a child of God, we want to do well. We want to be well-pleasing in his sight and in the sight of one another. The church's submission to Christ is established upon the same respective position between the man and the woman. It's the same. And I've been reading this again because it wasn't that long ago that we looked at the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, but I'm going to take the time to read it again this afternoon just to refresh our memories. Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And there again, I'll just pause to put this comment out there for the benefit of the men. Notice the instruction is to the wives to submit themselves. It didn't tell you, husbands, to make your wives submit. It said, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands has his responsibility of submission as well. For the husband is the head of the wife, the authoritative head, the ruler over the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, it doesn't say as the church ought to be subject unto Christ. The church is subject unto Christ. Now, does the church get in rebellion sometimes? Yeah, they do, and God only lets them go so far, and then he removes the candlestick from them. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Not just what you, in other words, it's not salad bar option. Pick and choose what you want to be in submission to him on. It's like obeying the law. If you're breaking one point, the smallest point of the law, God said, you're guilty of the whole law, of breaking the whole law. If you fail to submit in one point, you fail to submit. Same principle. Husbands, here comes the husband's submission. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. There again, Christ submitted himself to the death of the cross. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So husbands are to submit how? By loving their wives. Loving their wives as their own body. I'm so thankful. And the Lord has worked on me, changed me, made me to be what I am. But he's not done. And there are times that I don't love my wife as myself. And that becomes very evident. Because why? Because she done something that displeased me. You see, it was all about me. No getting rid of myself. To love as Christ loved, get rid of self, husbands. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And that getting rid of self is a daily process. It's a moment by moment. You choose to do that first thing in the morning when you get up. You choose to love her. You choose to love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You choose to love her in that manner, and that means I'm getting rid of myself. I'm not concerned about me. I'm concerned about her. And what pleases her? What makes her happy? That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. He's not just talking about eating and drinking. He's talking about us satisfying the desires and passions of our bodies. What's pleasing to me? Well, you manifest that same attitude toward your wife. What pleases her? What makes her happy? What endears her to you? What endears her to submitting to your rulers, to your authority? For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. That sounds familiar. That's what Adam said concerning Eve. And now here we have it said concerning Christ and his church. See how the physical union of a man and a woman in marriage is to reflect Christ and the church? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He always, Scripture almost always refers to the creational design to support these positions that we have thus looked at. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And look with me at verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7. For man indeed ought not to cover his head in the assembly. He's to remove the covering from his head. Previous verses. For as much as he is the image and glory of God, so his head's not to be covered. But the woman is the glory of the man. And in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and the angels and one another, the woman is to have a covering on her head. Her glory is to be covered. What? Her glory is man. Man is not to be seen. There's no glory of man in the face of Jesus Christ. For the man is not of the woman. Taken of the woman, but the woman of the man. The creational order. The creational purpose of God. Man first, then woman. Woman was taken out of man. The curse was taken out of Christ. Neither was the man created for the woman. Back in Genesis chapter 2, God saw the man was alone. All that was around him was beasts. In other words, he had not a brother like him. He had not a human flesh like him. And God said, it's not good the man should be alone. I'll create a helpmeet for him. One suitable for him. Man created for the woman. But the woman for the man. See, based it upon the creational purpose of God. Again, going back to 1 Samuel, in chapter 2 again, and we'll read those verses again. Verses 12 and 13. And so the Holy Spirit instructing the preacher, Timothy, and how things ought to be in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but I suffer not, verse 12, a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence for Adam, or because Adam was first formed, then Eve. Eve was taken of Adam and created for Adam. And given unto Adam. Pretty plain, is it not? The submissive position of the woman to man stands as long as the fact of creation stands. And as long as the church is to be in subjection to Christ stands. How long does the fact of creation stand? Forever? Till God creates it anew. How long does the church in subjection to Christ, how long does that stand? Even in the eternal ages. You don't see his church not being in submission to him. He is the light. There's no need for the sun, moon, and stars any longer. Jesus Christ is the light. He's the preeminent one. He's the head over his church, even in the eternal ages. Now, yes, his church, his bride, going to be seated with him there in glory. But it's a role of submission. She's under him. And at that point, she won't want to exalt herself over him. Yes, I believe there are some churches. God help us that it's not Grace Baptist Church of Melbourne. I believe there are some churches that want to exalt themselves over Christ. Well, you say, well, how would they do that? By not obeying Christ. Not obeying his commandments. For us today that we're following the Lord Jesus Christ. We're following the things that we've seen, the order that we've seen thus far that ought to exist in his church. Let us stand together and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Next week we'll look at the natural symbols.